What Came Next is intended for mature audiences only. Episodes discuss topics that can be triggering, such as emotional, physical, and sexual violence, animal abuse, suicide, and murder. I am not a therapist, nor am I a doctor. If you're in need of support, please visit somethingwaswrong.com/resources for a list of nonprofit organizations that can help. Opinions expressed by my guests on the show are their own and do not necessarily represent the views of myself or Broken Cycle Media. Resources and source material are linked in the episode notes. Thank you so much for listening. Anu Verma is a survivor, mother, author, speaker, and film producer from the United Kingdom. Her childhood experiences of sexual abuse, as well as several future toxic relationships she would navigate, deeply affected her trajectory. In this very candid conversation, Anu shares much of her heartbreak and consequent healing in order to bring awareness and allow other victims to become victors over their own story. The Broken Cycle Media team is extremely thankful Anu was willing to share so much of herself in order to allow others to feel less alone.
My name's Anu Verma. I am the founder of Victim to Victor. Victim to Victor is actually my book, my podcast, and soon to be a movie as well. And it's all dedicated around trauma and healing. And it's based on my own personal journey of healing from childhood trauma and giving others hope that they can also heal and find blissfulness in their lives and that they don't have to suffer in silence anymore. I'm actually based in the UK. You could probably tell by my accent. My loved ones would probably describe me as somebody who's really resilient, compassionate, and also deeply dedicated to using my experiences to make a difference. I've actually been told that I do bring like a unique mix of strength and warmth into my projects, something which I hope shines through in my work. For me, my whole journey now and my whole purpose is about reclaiming life and finding power in the process of healing. The whole abuse started when I was 3 years old. It was actually a tenant who was renting a place in our family home. At the time, it just felt like we just had this secret that we were keeping. He'd make me do some horrendous things, which at the time I knew no different. I was just a child. It did carry on for quite a few years. It was mainly when there was parties going on and he'd come up to my room and make me do things to him. Just any kind of opportunity there was where it was just me and him alone, then that would be it. I kind of grew up thinking that that was normal. It started when I was 3 and ended when I was around 6 with that perpetrator. But then there was also a few more perpetrators after that, you see. They weren't as long or as invasive as this early predator who came into my life. They were just kind of one-off incidences, really. But up until the age of 18, I'd had like 5 predators who had taken advantage of me. For example, I was pushed into the alleyway when I was 16 and he groped me and basically threatened to rape me. When I went running home, I was blamed for it by somebody close to me. It's your fault for attracting this predator into your life. And then I carried that. I just thought, okay, so it is my fault then. I'm attracting these people to my life. And then that formed my whole perception of myself. I just feel like it leaves us very vulnerable. It leaves us in a very unstable state where we don't really understand the sense of self. I feel like predators will then detect that. And I think that's what was happening to me. constantly I was just attracting these bad people who were doing horrible things to me. But at the time, I just didn't realize that these were bad people. I just thought they were normal because their abusive behaviors felt very normalized to me. When I hit 18, that's when I was able to then move away from home. I went to university. Instead of these predators taking my power away from me, I was then in charge. I felt like tables were turning and I was then out breaking people's hearts because I wanted that power and it felt really nice to be in charge. And that was me for the next few years, really, until my late 20s when I started to then attract abusers. That was it then. Tables had turned again and then these abusers would take my power and it was kind of a downward spiral from then. I attracted an alcoholic into my life. And then after that, there was somebody who took so many drugs. I did take drugs as a form of escapism. But then it also led me down a very dark path. I just wanted to escape. So much so that I tried to overdose and mix drugs with alcohol. There were so many times that I ended up blacked out and unconscious. These real darkest moments that I was in where I woke up screaming. It was nothing exterior. It was my soul screaming in me and it was just so loud, these screams. And it was only really when I got into my late 20s and 30s that I started to get flashbacks. And the flashbacks, a lot of it was smells. I realized later that's what happens when you are undergoing complex trauma and post-traumatic stress symptoms. These kind of flashbacks and smells that you might have later on in life is actually the response to the trauma. This impacted all my relationships because I just couldn't get intimate. Whenever there was any kind of intimacy going on, I'd be repelled by my partners. I also went through a phase when I just thought, oh, maybe I'm just not attracted to men. And so I even had a bit of an identity crisis. My childhood trauma impacted me in so many ways. The chain of events from that childhood trauma, it disrupted me even more. I had 3 attempts of suicide. One of those attempts was when I actually did jump off a balcony. But on the floor below me, there was actually a part of the balcony that went out. I was actually hanging off there. It wasn't my time to end. For some reason, my friends who were with me on the holiday, they were absolutely in shock and they quickly went downstairs and they grabbed me and pulled me back. I had so many cuts and bruises down my tummy from where I was dragged up. That was just an example of how low I was feeling and that I just wanted to end my life. My choice of partners was disrupted as well because I obviously never felt much self-esteem or self-love. That then impacted the types of partners that I was drawing into my life. These partners would abuse me even more and make me feel even more worse than I already was. I'd get emotionally abused. I got physically abused. I even had sociopathic abuse. After that, there was a narcissist. For example, he'd be punching walls, leaving holes in my apartment. There was a lot of control. I wasn't allowed to go out in the evenings. It was just toxic behaviors that were implemented on me. It was always difficult to get out of the relationships as well because there'd always be a lot of turmoil. Like with my second abuser, whenever I tried to escape, he'd then threaten to like blow my car up. And so out of fear, I'd get back with him. Then there was one weekend where I just decided to go away to Spain for the weekend to get away from him. And I'd come back and my whole apartment had been trashed. My sofas had been slashed. He'd used my lipstick to write all these horrid words on my walls. He'd went out and bought these fish tins and he'd smeared loads of fish tins all over my clothes and he'd ripped a lot of my clothes. So there was a lot of damage that he'd caused, thousands of pounds worth. Even though I called the police asked if I want to press charges. Out of fear, I said no. So he actually got away with it because I was scared of him. The final straw with him was me packing my bags, leaving Manchester and going traveling. Even on my Facebook, I remember when he wrote, "I hope your plane crashes into the Himalayas." And all my family and friends read that. I hadn't even spoken to anybody about that. I was taught at the time to not even bring anything like that up again because it's all negative. Why do I want to talk about crap stuff that happened to me? Why would I want to bring other people down? I couldn't even look at myself in the mirror majority of my life. That made me suppress a lot. There's so much that happened to me in these relationships and in between the relationships that there was all these layers of just trauma that were being added on, like trauma after trauma after trauma. Every time that I went into a relationship, my ultimate goal was settling down, having kids, getting married. There was then a narcissist who I drew into my life. At the time, I knew nothing about narcissism. He was emotionally abusing me. He was manipulating me, controlling me, gaslighting me. He was horrendous. But at the time, I was justifying his behavior. I'd blame myself. For example, if I couldn't go to his house one evening, he'd make me feel guilty. He'd basically send me pictures of other women saying, "Oh, he's going to go and date her." It just made me feel like the worst human on the planet. He'd basically accuse me of not caring for him. And I would literally drive to his house just to keep him happy. With him, the final straw was when I was being financially abused. He'd basically used my credit card to buy himself an £8,000 Panerai watch. He told me that he was going to pay me back because there was a lot of money coming into him. I later find out that that was all a lie. There was no money coming into him. For me, the hardest part was understanding what the hell to do because I'd never, ever gone through this process before. I remember the endless hours that I was spending researching and reading up on it. A big part of that was also gathering the evidence. I had this massive folder full of evidence, which was all the scripts that I downloaded from WhatsApp and SMS and emails. Everything just validating that the money was not a gift. That gave me so much power because I did end up taking him to court. I went into that courtroom absolutely charged with all this evidence. I actually won the case. That was like my first ever sign of victory. I felt so empowered. Just having that taste of victory, I was like, wow, this is how I need to be in relationships. I can't take any more abuse. That was the starting of my healing journey. He's actually paying me back even now. Every month there's money coming into my account from him because he's going to be paying me back, I think, another 8 years now. It's given me a lot of inner strength because I'm just like, the judges believed me over him. He even appealed against two of the judges afterwards. He appealed saying that they were wrong and that he was right. Because that's what narcissists do. They can't let anyone else win. He basically lied about his mom being ill and he lied about some dates. Because I caught him out, the judge was like, well, that doesn't make sense. And so that was it then. She goes, your appeal is dismissed. But the judges saw straight through him. I was so happy. I felt like it was the first time that I was being heard. I was like, wow, this is what it feels like to actually have somebody who believes in you. After that, I'd lost a lot of hair. I realized that it was actually due to the stress that I was under because I was doing it all on my own. There was nobody who understood what I was going through. I felt like there was still a lot of judgment against me. A lot of people had already backed away. And so I literally just had to do this on my own for my own sanity. And that's quite sad really as well, because I know that if it was now in my life, I'd have so much support around me.
So I met my ex-husband when I had just come out of a couple of abusive relationships. And Rob was like the opposite of these guys. He was genuine, he was warm, loving and sweet. And the thing is, at first, I didn't quite trust that that was him. I thought he was faking it. So I was very cautious in actually getting to know him. I had my barriers up. It was evident that I had some severe trust issues because of what had happened in my previous relationships. So Rob did all he could to prove to me that he was genuine, and he was so sweet in that sense. He really took care of me. It took a few months to warm to him, and we did have some arguments as well because I was still healing. So Rob did give me that space and that support for me to be able to heal and to actually get the help that I needed to in order to have a more healthier relationship. Rob has been a significant part of my life in that sense, and I'm very grateful he came into my life because he did teach me what true love can actually mean. I did get pregnant within 2 years of meeting him, and we had a baby. We also had gotten engaged and then married as well. So what happened was, when I had my baby, a lot of the previous trauma had actually come back.
I also got divorced, and my divorce was very much triggered by my postnatal depression, which again was a trigger from my childhood trauma.
I later found out that it was postnatal depression that I was suffering. There was just so much going on, and I really needed to come out of the marriage in order to heal again. That was probably the best thing that I could have done, because I was then able to really take care of myself as well as my son, to then write my book and to start my own podcast. So that was a real important period for me.
Something that really helped me, it was actually my cousin who introduced me to a healer. I was very new to the whole spirituality realm. She did a lot of Reiki on me. We did a lot of emotional freedom therapy healing. What you do in the sessions is you'll create these sentences. Like, for example, you might be feeling anxiety. We're then adding in a positive to that, saying it doesn't matter what you're feeling right now. At the end of the day, as long as you feel loved and as long as you feel enough within yourself, whilst you're saying these sentences, you're also tapping different acupuncture points around your body, around your face, around your hands as well. Having that energy healing, it really shifted something in me. I'd already had talking therapy prior to that, but to be honest, they weren't real productive sessions for me. And so I thought, okay, let's try energy healing. And I'm telling you, it was the best thing that I could have ever done. Just the amount of tears that came out when I was being healed. I was then able to train with her as a Reiki master myself, which I absolutely loved. I was releasing so much during that process as well. My healer, Marie, just really transformed everything. It was even her who helped me to actually start journaling. I feel like I was so traumatized that I just couldn't even sit down and write a sentence because I just couldn't focus. What I was doing then, I was actually, through a dictaphone, I was actually talking about my journey, and then that actually transcribed onto a document, and then that formed the basis of my book. And so it all started to make sense because I was writing about these events and how they impacted me and people around me. It started off as a journal. It did take a few years because it was hard at first. I had a lot of memory blocks, and a lot of it was trying to uncover these memories that I'd deliberately shut out just to protect me. So I'd say it took about 3-4 years in the end. Because once I had all my material there, it was then a matter of turning it into a readable format. I was learning a lot as I was going along as well, and I just had so many nerves, so much fear as well about what people would think and say. I did have a lot of family pressure as well, where people were getting a bit nervous about me sharing stuff that had happened in case I was putting the family to shame. And then I had to keep reassuring everyone that there was nobody really being mentioned that could bring harm to them, and that everybody was being disguised so that everyone was protected. It was a very lonely experience as well, because I just felt like, again, I didn't have much support around me. I actually had to start therapy again, not only with one therapist. I had a book coach as well, and then I also had a trauma therapist because I was being re-triggered. There was a lot of trauma that was coming back. Even though the book had been released, I was then in therapy for another year after that as well. We really have to try and find our tribe, whether that is through paid therapy or joining these communities, which there's so many online now. But we really have to try and find people who resonate with us, who understand us. That's so important. I've always got a coach or a therapist. I'm always trying new different modalities because there's so many tools available, like cognitive behavioral therapy, narrative therapy, which is all about processing your emotions and processing the trauma events. We forget that our body keeps the score. And so embodiment is yoga as well. Something which I'll always do in the mornings without fail is my downward dogs, because it just gives me such a good stretch. Taking some deep breaths in when I'm doing my downward dogs, it grounds you. It's a beautiful way to set the day by just grounding yourself. That's what I would advise anybody, and it really helps to have people there that you can just go to if you're feeling a bit low. Sharing how you're feeling can just be so healing in itself. A lot of the time we just get so stuck in our heads. We can't make logic of situations. And so just by having those conversations with people, which is exactly what journaling and writing does as well, you know, it uses the prefrontal cortex, which is a logical making reason of the situation. I've got a very growth mindset where I just want to be constantly learning. And yes, maybe that is a trauma response, but I feel like it's also in my blood as well. I was just always made to try new experiences and to gain knowledge in various aspects of life. Since I wrote my book, it's presented me to the media, and even releasing the podcast, which was a year after, that was really fantastic for me because I felt like I was hiding behind my book, even though it was healing. But I then felt like I had communication issues. And just by podcasting really helped me to be able to communicate better and to really normalize these kind of conversations and for them not to be such taboo topics. Being in front of the camera, I decided to then have a bit of a passion towards productions and films and YouTubing. Then last year, I started to learn film. I just connected with these producers, and now I'm working with Craig Conway, who's just amazing. We connect so much on this level because it's a trauma story based on my book. He's also a survivor and just so empathic. He really wants this story to be told in my voice. He's been in the industry for over 30 years, so he knows what he's doing, and I just feel like I've got this mentor who's guiding me the way. My movie at the moment is called Silent Screams. It's in development. It's just a script. I'm now rewriting my script. We're on the 7th draft. It's already won awards. I'm getting a lot of feedback from film festivals. It won the Oxford Script Awards this year, and it's had an honorary mention at another festival. But it is being rewritten to improve it. We're then going to be reaching out to investors because it is a business at the end of the day. I'm even in contact with some celebrities as well to cast in the movie, and we're in discussions on verb salaries. So that's all going on. I've even connected with other filmmakers, and we've come together and we're actually producing another movie. I'm actually off to Greece this weekend to go and help out on set. So I'm actually going to be a film producer. I'm really excited. It's something which I was never, ever expecting, but it's just kind of fallen on my plate. So I'm just going with it. The media has such a big part to play in telling stories, in just educating the whole world. Media has so much power. We call it propaganda here in the UK because they basically tell you what they want you to know. which is why I'm so grateful for podcasts and for real, authentic people sharing their stories like we are today. The fact that we are able to create these platforms for other survivors is what we need, because we are telling real life, authentic stories. You just see so much change happening, and it's social media that's changed everything so dramatically.
Rob, my ex-husband, we did actually get back together, because once I'd healed, I started to see him differently as well. We then had our second child.
We're co-parenting now. We're having a great time. My next partner is going to be someone who adds value to my life, and not just somebody who I will settle with because we need to be in a relationship to show society that we're a happy family when we're really not. I've done a lot of intention setting about this as well. And so I know now what the red flags are. Whenever I'm exposed to any kind of emotionally abusive person, I feel like I can pick up their energy immediately. When it's the love bombing, when they're just so into you immediately and they can't live without you, they're constantly texting you. For me, that's like an And another thing is there's a lot of insecurity as well. It's not a nice way to live when you're not happy within yourself. So I feel like if you are that way inclined, if you are comparing and if you're not happy with yourself, then maybe you should not be dating right now and to just try and work on yourself more and try to gain some more love and respect for yourself, so that you're in a much healthier mindset when you do want to actually finally date somebody. I just want everyone to know that if something happened to you when you were a child, you know, it wasn't your fault. I don't want anybody to be carrying so much self-blame and guilt and shame, which is exactly what I carried. I think it's only a few years ago that I actually stopped blaming myself. It's not ours to carry. It's our abusers to carry. This is why I'm just so passionate about it all. I just want everyone to understand that you don't need to stay in this place where you keep blaming yourself. You don't really value yourself. There's just so much you can do now to heal and to really gain back your power and just live a much more fruitful life. And I just want you all to believe that, because it's only when you believe that that you'll actually start to make the shift. You won't be fixed overnight. I just feel like it's important to understand that healing is a journey. It's not linear, but I just feel like it's a process, and you have to trust the process. You just need to have compassion for yourself and to understand that whatever healing journey you're going to go through, or if you're undergoing it now, that it does take immense courage. It's an act of bravery in my eyes. Whatever happened to you, it doesn't define you. What defines you now is your courage to continue to heal and to reclaim your lives. I think it's also important to know that no matter how you're feeling now, that your feelings are valid. It's okay to seek help at your own pace. Now might not be the time, and that's okay. We're not in a race healing. It's a lifelong journey. Every small step that you take is going to be important. So just remember that you are worthy and you are loved.
I think your perspective is so powerful and so important to hear. Thank you for sharing it with us. Where can people find you?
You can find me on my website, which is Victim to Victor with the number 2. You can find me on all the podcast platforms and Instagram. I'm quite active on Instagram, TikTok as well. I like to post a lot of personal stories on my Facebook. So yeah, connect with me. Thank you everybody for being here and for the courage in taking these steps. Reach out if anybody wants any moral support. We should be there for each other, to support each other and to offer each other positive encouragement. Who knows, you might even end up saving somebody's life because you heard them. They were actually heard.
Thank you so much. There are so many things in your story that will resonate with so many different people. I appreciate your vulnerability and your tenacity. Thank you again.
Thank you. No, it's been so nice being on the show. Really appreciate this time and this space.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. Next week on What Came Next.
I was with a very good model agency and I started working right away. I was auditioning for movies. I started doing tons of TV commercials. I think I really felt like I was living the life. I had booked a job for a British magazine and I flew to Tortola. One of the girls that I was there with, she asked me if I wanted to meet one of her friends because we had the day off. We got in a boat and we headed over to Jeffrey Epstein's island. Obviously, we all know now what happens on those islands. And we know about Jeffrey and what he did to hundreds of women.
What Came Next is a Broken Cycle Media production co-produced by Amy B. Chesler and Tiffany Reese. If you'd like to help support What Came Next, you can leave us a positive review, support our sponsors, or follow Broken Cycle Media on Instagram at Broken Cycle Media. Check out the episode notes for sources, resources, and to follow our guests. Thank you again for listening.